Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is taken from our first lesson, Acts chapter 26. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. Amen. I wonder what Festus did to deserve all of this. Of all of the places in the Roman Empire to be named the governor, this had to be among the worst. Those pesky Jews were always causing problems. They were always rebelling, always bringing trivial matters before the court. Pilate had struggled with them. Felix had struggled with them, although he was just simply inept. And now Festus is left to clean up his mess, which included a Roman citizen who had been imprisoned for 2 years without any credible charge being brought against him. And so Festus immediately heads to Jerusalem to try and straighten out this mess. The Jewish leaders had once again trumped up charges against someone that they couldn't verify, and they wanted Festus to bring this man back to Jerusalem because they had a plot in place to kill him along the way. Festus told them that this wasn't going to happen, that they would need to come to Caesarea where the man was, and so the Jews went to Caesarea, and again, they were unable to bring any charge against the man. Festus should have just washed his hands of the matter right then and there and let the man go. But he didn't. He didn't want to make any more trouble. He knew what the Jews were capable of, and so he asked the man if he would be willing to go to Jerusalem for a trial. But this man knew what that meant. There would be no trial. He would be dead before he ever got to Jerusalem. And so he had no other choice. As a Roman citizen, he appealed to the highest court. He appealed to Caesar. Instead of to Jerusalem, he would be going to Rome. But before that would happen, Festus was trying his best to have things run smoothly in his region. King Herod Agrippa and Bernice, his wife, had come to pay their respects to the new governor. Agrippa was the great-great-grandson of Herod the Great and had just recently taken over parts of Galilee and Perea. Festus and Agrippa would be working hand in hand to rule the area, and so it was vital that they got off to a good start. You see, Agrippa had the very important job of appointing the high priest and also taking control of the temple treasury. And so Festus has this novel idea. Agrippa would understand the Jewish culture better than anyone. He would bring this man out before Agrippa and have him talk to him, and have him explain the situation, and then Festus would at least have something to say when he sent off the letter to Rome. And that brings us to our story today. Festus and Agrippa and Bernice are all listening very intently to this Jewish Roman citizen, the Apostle Paul. Chapter 26 of Acts records the third time now that Paul's conversion story is told to us. How Jesus blinded Paul on the road to Damascus and converted him to the Christian faith. And Paul repeats the message that Jesus gave him there, that Paul would take the good news to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what Paul had been doing. He was doing exactly what God had told him to do in that vision. And that brings us to our verses, where he says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Rather, I first told those in Damascus and Jerusalem about it, and then throughout the entire country of Judea, and also the Gentiles. I told them that they should repent and turn to God while also doing works that are consistent with repentance. These are the reasons the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. But I have had help from God right up to this day, and so I stand testifying to both small and great I am saying nothing other than what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to our people and to the Gentiles. If you were the Apostle Paul, wouldn't you have wanted to give Festa and Agrippa a piece of your mind? There wasn't really anything that they could have done to him. He had already appealed to Rome. Wouldn't you have wanted to call them on the carpet? Wouldn't you have wanted to give them a piece of your mind for being falsely imprisoned for the last 2 years, 2 years of ministry and life just completely wasted? I think we all would. And Paul does give them a piece of his mind, the P-I-E-C-E piece of his mind. But in doing so, he doesn't yell at Festus and Agrippa. He doesn't whine and complain. Instead, he gives them a piece of his mind, the P-E-A-C-E. Paul speaks of the peace that he has in God, the peace that God had given him even while being falsely imprisoned. He speaks of the peace that comes from knowing that Jesus is alive, that his sins were forgiven. He speaks of the peace, and that peace he was speaking to the people even though they didn't want to hear it. Paul lays it out plainly. The only reason he's standing there before these three is because he had been telling the truth. He had been telling the Jews that they had sinned in killing Jesus and that they needed to repent and they didn't like hearing it. And maybe that surprises us a little bit. That they balked at hearing about this peace. But it shouldn't. There are plenty of people who get upset when someone tries to point out their sin, even when the goal is to lead them to repentance and a right relationship with God. You don't think so? Then why do we have such a hard time contacting people, getting them to answer the phone or our emails or our texts, people who aren't worshiping with us regularly? Why is it that people are so unwilling to talk to their family members and their relatives when they see them living contrary to God and His Word? It's because people don't usually take it very well. And if we're honest with ourselves, we don't usually take it very well. How many of us haven't reacted or overreacted to someone calling us to repentance only to feel horrible about it later when we realized how wrong we were? Taking a stand on God's word is never easy. It almost always has consequences that people are going to view as negative. But that's part of being a follower of Christ. That's part of taking up our crosses after Him. But thankfully, it's not simply up to us. No, we have a risen Savior who still acts. And as we see here in the Acts of the Apostle Paul, Jesus gives Paul the courage to speak of His peace. And friends, He does the same for you and me. I think it's very important for us to understand here that Paul isn't simply sharing his story so that he can garner some sympathy. Remember, he's already appealed to Rome. His fate is set in that case. No, Paul is taking this opportunity to share the peace of his Savior, to share the gospel with Festus and Bernice, but especially he's focusing on Agrippa. He wanted to show him a Savior who wasn't just simply hanging from the cross, but a Savior who was risen from the dead. And it was that last part that was just too much for Festus. While Paul was saying these things in his defense, Festus shouted, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you insane." Festus just couldn't stomach the idea of the resurrection. Festus could tell that Paul was very well educated, that he was intelligent. But all this talk of the resurrection was just too much for him. It made him think that Paul was out of his mind. What's interesting is that Festus couldn't contradict what Paul was saying. He couldn't prove that what Paul was saying was false. What Jesus had told the apostles had been fulfilled yet again here with Paul. Jesus said, "Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." The Spirit of God had spoken through Paul, and he had spoken the truth about Jesus and his resurrection, and Festus just couldn't handle it. "I'm not insane, most excellent Festus, but I am clearly speaking words that are true and sensible. Certainly the king," and he's talking to Agrippa now, "certainly the king to whom I am freely speaking knows about these things. Indeed, I cannot believe that any of these things has escaped his notice, because this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." Festus may not have been able to handle this new concept of the resurrection, but this was nothing new for Agrippa. Paul knew that Agrippa had been following the events in Israel. The whole country had been enveloped in what had been happening. Everything had been done very publicly. It was nearly impossible for someone who was familiar with the Old Testament not to make the connection between what the prophets had said and what Jesus had done. And so Paul is taking this opportunity to share that clear gospel with Agrippa, but he rejected it. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "In such a short time, are you going to persuade me to become a Christian?" You and I are much more like the Apostle Paul than we might think. There are more than enough people out there in this world today who think that we are insane, that we are out of our minds because we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, because it surpasses the logical human mind. It defies the laws of nature. It doesn't make sense to human reason. And people think that we're out of our minds to base our entire lives, our entire hope and beliefs on this illogical truth. But friends, the Word of God cannot be broken. The Scriptures couldn't be any clearer. And although we don't need anything else to believe, yet this is the fact. The resurrection of Jesus is the most supported event in the entire history of the world. There is not another event in world history that is better supported or has more various sources of support. The Old Testament clearly talked about the resurrection in the prophets and in Job. The chief priests and the teachers of the law knew about the resurrection, and that's why they posted the guard in the first place. And then they had the eyewitness testimony of the soldiers that they rejected. Thomas knew this and rejected it before he saw Jesus standing before him. And Agrippa knew it too. And yet, like the others, he rejected it. Friends, the same is true today. People are hesitant to put their faith in Jesus and his gospel of peace and forgiveness. People are hesitant because it doesn't seem logical. It doesn't make sense. It's not how we would arrange things. What king is going to take off his crown and die for the members of the kingdom who hated him the most? What king is going to exchange his life for the worst of the kingdom? Yet that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. And Jesus gives us the courage to speak of that peace. And sure, people may think that we're out of our minds. They may think that we're trying to persuade them into something to fool them or trick them. But you know what? I can't persuade anyone. And neither can you. I can't argue anyone into faith, and neither can you, but God can persuade them. God can persuade them through the power of His Word. Through the power of God's Word, He can overcome the sinful hearts of men. God's Word can thwart the sinful logic and reason of the flesh. Only God's Word can change hearts of stone into hearts of faith. And so our prayer today is Paul's prayer. I pray, God, that whether in a short time or a long time, not only you, but also all those who are listening to me today would become what I am, except for these chains. May Jesus continue to act through us and give us the courage to speak of that peace which only comes from knowing that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.